for the scripture reading, I'd like to invite you to open your Bible to Deuteronomy 25. Passage that the topic here says marriage duty at the surviving brother, Deuteronomy 25 verse 5 to 10. If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall be married to a stranger, shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go into her. Take her as his wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn son which she bears will succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. But if the man does not want to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to raise up a name to his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of his city shall call him to speak to him. But if he stands firm and says, I do not want to take her, then his brother's wife shall come to him in the presence of the elders, remove his sandal from his foot, spit in his face and answer and say, so shall it be done to the man who will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called in Israel, the house of him who has his sandal removed. It's interesting that it is a regulation, so to speak, the provision of the something called levirate marriage. And then also there's a provision that what the woman, the widow, should do when the brother doesn't want to fulfill his duty. Let's go to Ruth chapter 3. Which is continuing series of sermon on Ruth. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek a security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, All that you say to me I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went and lay down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, who are you? So she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. Then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if you he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lay down until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. And he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. And he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. And she went into the city. And she came to her mother-in-law, and she said, is that you, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, there is 6 ephahs of barley he gave me. And he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. And she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. So far, reading of the Holy Word of the Lord. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is a truth universally acknowledged that every father wants his children to be well. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Fathers do everything they can do to protect their children. Every father does their best to teach his children with the best knowledge that he has. And most of all, fathers want to give the best thing that he could give to their children. However, sometimes what father gives is not necessarily what children want. Let's say a child continually asks his father for chocolate, and every father wishes to give their children whatever they ask, but he is reluctant to give chocolate to him because his family doctor said the child should never have chocolate. It is also a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in his prime age wants a wife. There was a father who had a daughter. She was at the age of 25. She brought her boyfriend to introduce to her dad, her parents, and then you know what's coming. There comes an interview. It could be called interrogation or inquisition, depends how picky the parents are. Because every father loves his daughter so much that he wants to make sure that his daughter is dating the right guy. The father asks many questions. He starts with the basic small questions such as, what is your name? Where do you live? How old are you? However, actually, there's another question. There's something that father is more interested other than his name or where he is from. That is this. What is this guy do for a living? Why? Because every father has a concern. Is this guy capable to support his family? Does this guy have a stable job so that he can feed my daughter? Well, after the interrogation, some fathers forget the guy's name. But they never forget what he does. A father with a son could ask a similar question about his own son. Is my son going to be able to support his family as the head of the house? Or is he going to cause pain? Does he have right mindset? Does he have good work ethic, or is he lazy? Christian parents ask one more extra question when their child brings his girlfriend or her boyfriend. I said extra, I don't mean extra in a sense that it's superfluous or not necessary. It's extra because non-Christians don't ask this question. But for us, perhaps it's the most important question that parents must ask. Are you a Christian? Which church do you go to? Well, the point is, every parent, they want to make sure that my child is getting a good security and protection. Financial security, emotional security, stability, and most of all, spiritual security. And brothers and sisters, today's chapter in Ruth chapter 3, the key word of this chapter is in verse 1. Naomi said to Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" The key word here is security. This whole chapter is about a question, one question. How is Ruth going to find her security? Well, just like any other parents who want to find a good spouse for their children, Naomi, as being a good mother-in-law, she was concerned about the well-being of Ruth. So the theme and the points is this: finding security for Ruth. We're going to see this redeeming relative, Boaz. Naomi recognized him as close relative. And the second, the Naomi instructed Ruth to have a plan, a proposal plan to the redeeming relative. In the previous chapter, Ruth found a favor in the eyes of Boaz, who was a very sincere man who honored God's law very seriously. Ruth came home with some grains. Ruth also took some leftover food from the lunch and gave to Naomi. And Naomi said, "Where have you gleaned today?" Naomi asked. And then Ruth told her everything that had happened. Naomi said, "Blessed be the one who took notice of you." Naomi used the word notice, which implies that Naomi was a bit worried because she thought nobody would even recognize or notice or give help to Ruth. She probably was thinking like this while Ruth was gone. What if Ruth comes back with empty hands? And then here she comes. She came with lots of grains and barley and all the leftover food. And then Naomi saw that God was being faithful through a man named Boaz. "Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." Living means Ruth and Naomi, and dead means her dead husband and her two sons. You can pay attention to how Naomi's heart began to soften toward God once she heard the good news. Remember, Naomi was bitter and angry toward God. And look how God turned her around with his mighty acts. He did so by showing grace, favor, through a man named Boaz. Naomi said, she went out full and came empty. But Ruth went out empty, but came with abundant food. Naomi also realized that Boaz was a close relative of Elimelech, her husband, who passed away. So this term close relative is also the key term of this chapter to understand the story of Ruth. In chapter 3 and 4, the term close relative is often used. This term is not just referring to a relative member, This term, close relative, has a special meaning. Some other Bible translations translate this word, try to catch the special meaning with a different English word. For instance, King James translates this as, a man is near to kin of unto us, one of our next kinsmen. ESV says, close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. NIV says, one of our guardian redeemers. So you can see they use the word redeemer or kinsman. So to understand what Naomi said, it is crucial to know what exactly this close relative or redeemer means. The same word was used in Leviticus 25, verse 25, redeeming relative, which means a closer relative who can redeem. The term is legal term, very technical term. To redeem means when a brother or cousin is in distress and cannot get himself out of, let's say, financial difficulty, then the closest relative or redeeming relative is responsible to help the person. That is why some other Bible translations use the word as redeeming relative or kinsman redeemer. So according to the scripture, there are some duties and obligations of this redeeming relative. First, to ensure that the hereditary property of the clan never passes out of the clan. Leviticus 25 says, if one of your brethren becomes poor and has sold some of his possession, and if his redeeming relative comes to redeem it, then he may redeem what his brother sold. In Leviticus 25:47, the redeeming relative was supposed to buy back the freedom of his close relative who have sold themselves into slavery because of poverty. And also, when one sold his land because of poverty, the redeeming relative also was to redeem the land that was sold because he could not keep the property. So the question is, why did God provide this provision? Well, it's not only to protect the property of the individuals or the freedom of the individuals. There is something more than that in this law. Remember, God made his covenant with his people and also with his offspring. God wanted to make sure that the children of Israel to know who God is by letting them enjoy the inheritance that God have given to their forefathers. Even if one of his people loses his property, God made this provision to redeem the inheritance for the person by the close relative so that the children may know that God is faithful to his covenant. And there was another duty. It was to ensure that justice is served in a lawsuit involving a relative. According to Numbers 35:19, when someone was murdered, a redeeming relative could track down and execute the murderer of near relatives. Also, it was a duty of the redeeming relative to receive the restitution money on behalf of the victim of a crime. So, therefore, the provision of redeeming relative was designed by God to maintain security and well-being of the family members. This redeeming relative becomes so important in the book of Ruth, because redeeming relative also comes into play in the case of a widow whose husband had died without sons or leaving any children. Dying without son was considered a horrible tragedy by the Israelites, since the family name would discontinue. So the Lord provided a special provision that is mentioned in Deuteronomy 25, verse 5. If a brother dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her brother-in-law shall go into her, take her as his wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. The purpose of this marriage is to make sure the name of the deceased to continue. A brother taking the widow of his brother is called levirate marriage. So to summarize what Naomi meant when she said close relative, is this. She meant Boaz is the one who can redeem the property of Elimelech, her dead husband. And Boaz could redeem the name of the deceased by also producing a child, so that the name of the deceased may not be cut off. In that way, this redeeming relative can provide a security to Ruth, which Naomi talked about in verse 1. But here's the thing. Just because Naomi had a close relative does not mean the close relative is qualified to redeem the properties of her dead husband. There are some conditions. And the conditions go like this. First, of course, his relative, he has to be a relative, he has to be a kinsman. This means the redeemer must be a relative to one whom he's going to buy out of slavery or debt. And second, of course, he must be able to pay. And this makes perfect sense, because in order to pay someone's debt, the redeemer must be able to pay. That means the redeemer cannot be a slave, because slaves, they cannot pay for the others. In the beginning of the previous chapter, it was mentioned that the Boaz was a man of a great wealth. And Naomi was fully aware of that. And third, he must be willing to pay. It was not enough to have a kinsman who was able to accomplish the work of redemption. He also must be willing to pay the money. So here, Naomi found Boaz as a potential redeeming relative. First, he's a kinsman. He is a man of great wealth. Only thing that Ruth needs to confirm is he willing? Is he willing to fulfill his duty? And here lies the great mystery of Jesus Christ, reflected in this provision of a redeeming relative. In some sense, we are all like Ruth, hopeless and helpless. We were once outside of God's household. Unless someone extends his hand to help us, there's no way for us to find rest or security. For us, Jesus Christ, he is redeeming relative who paid for our debt. And as I just mentioned, the redeeming relative must be our kinsman. And this is how this works. Jesus is both 100% man and he was 100% God. Why did the Son of God become man? Why did he take a human flesh just like ours? It's because so that he can pay for our debt and our sin. The redeeming relative had to be a kinsman, also must be able to pay. Jesus was both man, having our own flesh, our same flesh, and at the same time he was also God, who is powerful to pay our debt. Lord's Day 6 of Heidelberg Catechism masterfully summarized as follows. Why must he be a true and righteous man? Because the justice of God requires that the same human nature, the same human nature, which has sinned, should make satisfaction for sin. And because one who himself is a sinner cannot satisfy for others, which means he must be able to pay. And slaves cannot. The redeeming relative must be debt-free in order to save someone who is in debt. Why must he be true God same time? That by power of his Godhead he might bear in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, that he might obtain for us and restore us righteousness and life. Although we lost our inheritance because our own stubbornness and disobedience, Jesus redeemed our inheritance of heaven by redeeming us by his blood. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we praise Jesus Christ, who is our redeeming relative, kinsman redeemer, because he saved us from the bondage of sin. This leads to the second point, the proposal to the redeeming relative. In verse 2, Naomi proposed a plan for Ruth to find a security. As I mentioned, this chapter is all about how is Ruth going to find the security. What Naomi meant by the word security is this. The word security is the same word that appeared in chapter 1, verse 9. When Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "The Lord grant that you may find rest. The Lord may repay your work. A full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Ruth chapter 2, 12. Naomi made that statement in the context where she wishes her two daughters-in-law to find new husband. So this security or rest has to do with marriage that brings stability, financial security. And a responsible husband functions as the wings of God, offering security and protection. So here, Naomi's motivation is very clear. It's for Ruth's well-being. Naomi said he's winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Barley was typically threshed on the dry season around late May or June. And the best location for threshing floor is usually on the hilltop with rocks, because it has advantage of the wind. They would blow away the chaff. The threshing floor probably was located near to the field where Ruth would have been gleaning. Boaz chose to do this winnowing at night because night breeze was more desirable than gusty wind in the daytime. So Naomi gives Ruth very specific, detailed instructions. The first, Ruth is to take a bath. And second, she has to anoint herself, probably with a perfumed olive oil. Third, Ruth is to put on her best garment. So now here's the real challenge in this text, and that has to do with verse 4, where Naomi asked Ruth to find where Boaz lies and uncover his feet and lie there. One of the most popular explanation is that Naomi is asking Ruth to seduce Boaz and sleep with him. The assumption behind this explanation is this. In other parts of the Bible, like Leviticus 18, the verb to uncover is often used in sexual context in someone's nakedness. Naomi said in verse 3, "Wait until Boaz finished eating and drinking. What is the one to drink of a woman who bathes and puts perfume, and then in the dark of night goes out to the field where man is sleeping and uncover his feet?" Under ordinary circumstances, this looked like an action of a prostitute. And that is why some people thought that Ruth is trying to seduce Boaz in the middle of night by taking bath and anointing herself and putting on the best garments that she has. But this interpretation is not preferable for many reasons. And allow me to list the two reasons. First, the garment that Ruth puts on her has nothing to do with seductive dress. Ruth was a widow. When somebody died, there was a certain period of mourning. Often people put on sackcloth to cry for the dead person. When the period of mourning ended, they took off their sackcloth and anointed themselves and put on their good garments. Think about King David. When he was informed that the child was dead after committing adultery with the wife of Uriah, he washed himself. He applied the perfume on him. He put on best clothes, good clothes, and went to the temple to worship. In the ancient time, the culture demanded widows to put a certain cloth to display that they were widows. Those who are taking some notes and those who wants to do further study on this, read Genesis 38:14, where Tamar took off her widow's garments. And putting on the best garments could mean the removing her clothes of widowhood, so that she can let Boaz know that her period of widowhood is over. In other words, it is an intention to get remarried. So it's not that Ruth wanted to seduce Boaz. That's not the reason why she was preparing herself with the best garments and oil. Second, if you read verse 11, Boaz praised Ruth, saying, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." A little side note there in the Hebrew Bible. The book of Ruth does not come after the book of Judges, but it comes after the book of Proverbs. The Jews arranged the order of the book thematically. The reason why Ruth comes after Proverbs is because Proverbs 31 talks about virtuous wife. And this means that the Jews understood Ruth as a virtuous woman. And so did Boaz. So if Ruth wanted to seduce Boaz, if uncovering his feet means something like uncovering his nakedness, then Boaz would not call Ruth as a virtuous woman. Besides, it is very rare for women to propose to men. More so when a younger woman proposing to older men, a foreign widow proposing to a native man. Boaz woke up and he recognized the true meaning of Ruth's action, and he responded favorably and granted her request. That means Boaz did not think Ruth as a prostitute. In the previous chapter, Boaz was portrayed as a very virtuous man who sincerely honored the law of God. Then what does it mean when Naomi said, "You shall uncover his feet"? The simple answer to the question is this. It's a way of proposing marriage. First, let us remember once again the main concern of this chapter. That is, how is Ruth going to find security? The answer Naomi proposed is by asking a favor to the man who can redeem, which is Boaz. And Ruth needs a long-range protection and support that only a husband can provide. And that's what Naomi wanted in the previous chapter. And brothers and sisters, please pay careful attention to what Ruth said in verse 9. She said, "Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Under your wing, she said. The word wing is served as a metaphor of protection of God provided to Israel. You probably noticed in the call to worship, Psalm 91, that also has the same language. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge." So, this expression, spreading wings over someone, actually has one more meaning. Of course, it talks about God in the context of Psalm 91.
But culturally, it has more meaning, has something to do with marriage. The word wings not only means the wings of the bird, or some of you like Buffalo Wild Wings, you enjoy Saturdays, but in this particular text, it also means the corner of one's garment. Turn with me to Ezekiel 16, verse 8. Ezekiel 16 talks about, has a story about king and a little girl who was abandoned. The king adopts her, and then eventually the king marries her. When I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. So there you go. So here, you can see that when the king saw the naked baby girl, he took her in his care and spread his wing over her and took her as his wife. So the gesture of a man covering a woman with his garment was a symbolic act that he's covering her with his wings, according to Near Eastern custom. It is also to establish a new relationship. Symbolic declaration of the husband to provide for the sustenance of the future wife. Now imagine that Ruth uncovering his feet, that she was lying there, and that the text says it was night. It was probably cold. Boaz woke up because his feet were cold. He's about to cover his feet with his garment, and there is a woman lying at his feet. And she said, "Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Which means, cover me with your garment, which means cover me with your protection and security. Uncovering someone's feet also has the meaning of removing a sandal. And the sandal, according to Ruth chapter 4, symbolized the right to acquire the property. But we will deal with that in the next sermon. And brothers and sisters, in this chapter, chapter 3, as beautiful as it is, has a very deep theological implication for us. Think about it. For Ruth, her journey to find security comes to the end when she meets the generous kinsman redeemer. And it's the same with our journey to find the comfort and security. We find our security from our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. Also think about in the case of Ruth, that she puts off her old garments of widowhood and puts herself a best garment. I would like to invite you to open your Bible once again to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 2 to 5. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. But when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. So the point is this. It's very simple. Everybody knows this. When you're married, you're, so to speak, in the law of your husband. But the husband dies and you are free. It's the same with our relationship with our former husband. Sin. And since sin died, since Christ put the death on sin, we are free. Now we are bound to the new husband, Jesus Christ. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. You can imagine Ruth, she, her widowhood reminded her of her past. Her misery, her poverty. But her former husband died. The point is, she is no longer under the power of her former husband. She had to put aside her widowhood, all the religions of or her own country, and she came to be a people in the part of people of God. And she put, as a sign, she put her garment of widowhood, and then the Redeemer comes and surrounds her with his wings. You can see her proposal was very extraordinary. Naomi and Ruth, they probably were not sure whether this was going to work or not. What if Boaz misunderstands her as a prostitute? There's a little bit a sense of gambling. But it worked. She came with her faith, and it is the same with us. Christ died for us. We died in Christ, putting our sin to death, so that we may be no longer under the power of sin. And then, we now belong to our kinsman Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said, "For when you were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of letter." Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, I thank you that you revealed to us the mystery, the secrets of your redemption. That we realize that we can only find the security from Jesus Christ. That help us to know that this coming week. That let us be reminded while we have family gatherings for the Thanksgiving Day. Also when the families are gathered, that we pray that we can serve you, not to be distracted by worldly things. Also, if there are any family members that who do not know you, that we pray that you would extend your hands and open their eyes, that how beautiful it is to live as Christians, finding security in you. And then thinking of security, we pray for Sister Corrie Laus as she plans to visit her sister in BC. That as she travels, grant her security and safety, and also bless the visit. Also, we pray that you would bless our family gatherings here and there, also those who are traveling, that be with them. Also, let us not fall into temptations. Also, keep our families safe wherever they are. All these we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.